confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Steadfast love, comfort me.
According to your promise to your servant,
your hands have made and fashioned me.
Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments.
Those who fear you shall see me and rejoice.
Because I have hoped in your word.
I know, O Lord, that your just decrees are righteous.
And that in faithfulness you have afflicted me.
Let your mercy come to me, that I might live.
For your law is my delight.
Thank you. the strength of all who trust in you, and without your aid we can do no good thing. Grant us the help of your grace, that we may please you in both will and deed. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Angel's Tide is from the book of the prophet Amos, the 6th chapter. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion, and to those who feel secure on the mountain of Samaria, the notable men of the first of the nations, to whom the house of Israel comes. Pass over to Calneh and see, and from there go to Hamath the Great, then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Are you better than these kingdoms? Or is their territory greater than your territory? O you who put far away the day of disaster and bring near the seat of violence. Woe to those who lie on beds of ivory and stretch themselves out on their couches and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp and, like David, invent for themselves instruments of music, who drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore they shall now be the first of those who go into exile, and the revelry of those who stretch themselves out shall pass away. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being.
Put not your trust in princes, in the Son of Man, in whom there is no salvation.
When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish.
Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God.
Who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever.
Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry.
The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin.
The Lord will reign forever. Your God will Zion to all generations. Praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's first letter to Timothy, the 6th chapter. Now there is great gain in godliness with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare,
into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us.' And he said, 'Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment.' But Abraham said, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them.' And he said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O
having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for ourselves
mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the beginning of the gospel reading from Luke chapter 16. Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores." This is our text. Before we dive deeper into the gospel reading, I'd like you to consider for a minute what St. Paul wrote to young Pastor Timothy, as we heard in our second reading. He said, "Now there is great gain in godliness with contentment." Not just godliness alone, but godliness with contentment. "For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world." St. Paul is pretty blunt in those words, but to the point. You can't take it with you, any of it. When we leave this life, all our stuff stays behind. And all the wealth, everything we've accumulated and piled up, it profits nothing in the life of the world to come. I wonder how we hear these words. We brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. For some, it may be a sobering thought. Consider how much time, how much energy, how much of our thought we put into our wealth. How to get it, how to keep it. Our identity has become a little too tied up with what we have and how we live. So for some, it may hit close to home. Now, maybe others of you, when you heard those words, the fact that we're going to leave it all behind, maybe that feels freeing to you. Maybe you're overwhelmed by what you have. Maybe you're in the process of a transition in your life. Maybe you feel like your stuff owns you more than you own it. So you hear these words of St. Paul and you feel a sense of relief at the thought that a day will come when you don't have to deal with it anymore. You don't have to take it with you. But then again, maybe we're not sure what to do with St. Paul's words, because here we are, we've already come into the world with nothing, and one day we'll be headed out of the world with nothing, but right now we're in the world. And God willing, we'll be here for a little while. So we're in the world where wealth and stuff can be pretty handy. We don't really need to know, what we need to know isn't really about the beginning or the ending, but the in-between, where we live now. What should we do? How do we live now in light of how we began and how we will end and eternity? Keep that in mind now as we turn to the gospel reading. And here in this story that Jesus tells, we don't know if it's a real story or more of a parable. He doesn't tell us. But here we meet two men. The first man is a man who is rich. He's clothed in purple and fine linen, and every single day he feasted sumptuously. So I was thinking about that this week. It struck me that feasting every day sumptuously sounds pretty awesome, but there's one day where our feast sort of waits, that we might feast on the things that God has for us. And I began to wonder whether this man feasting every day sumptuously didn't also feast very sumptuously on Saturday, the Jewish Sabbath, or on Sunday morning, the Christian gathering, to the exclusion of feasting on God's word. It's also striking that this rich man isn't given a name. So we'll just call him Rich Man. It's odd that we don't know his name, because if I were to ask you for the names of rich people in our world today, I'm sure you could name a half dozen pretty easily. If I asked you for the names of those who are poor, you might not have quite an easy time. But this man seems to be so wrapped up in his riches that no one even remembers his name. They just remember how he feasted and how wealthy he was. And yet, he doesn't strike me as being a terrible guy. It's not like he'd murdered anyone or stolen anything or taken another man's wife. On the whole, he was probably a pretty decent fellow. Maybe a good neighbor most of the time, well respected in his community. He had a few faults, I'm sure, but who doesn't? So he had a taste for the most expensive clothes, and he feasted on the most extravagant food, and he had the money for it. That may not sound like an especially great sin, and he did it every single day. Eat, drink, and be merry, and dress like it. Isn't that the life? Until you see the other man who actually is right there sitting outside of the rich man's gates, a poor man who had to be laid there. His name we know. It's Lazarus. And unlike the rich man who's covered in the finest clothing, Lazarus is covered with sores. Instead of feasting sumptuously at the table every single day, he simply desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. The scraps, the leftovers. You know, what you got on the plate when you're finished eating, or what you had to cut off in order to prepare the food that you're going to eat. And that poor man was noticed, it seems, by no one except the dogs who would come over and lick his sores. Whether that was a blessing or more of a punishment, I don't know. No one envies this poor man and his open wounds. We hear about the rich man and we think that would be the life. And if the rich man didn't handle his riches and wealth well, I bet I could do a better job. But this poor man, we don't envy him at all. No one would want to trade places with him. We pity him. We might throw him some scraps or drop a few coins in his coffee cup if we're feeling generous, but none of us would trade places with him for a day. Even the dogs have compassion on Lazarus. But we certainly wouldn't look at Lazarus and say, there is a man blessed by God. Instead, we may wonder what he did to deserve it, and we may pray that we never end up like poor Lazarus. That's the human view of these two, the rich man and Lazarus. This is how they appear to the world. This is how they appear often to us. Wouldn't it be great if my life were more like that of the rich man than Lazarus? But that's only the beginning of the story. The poor man died, which is probably not surprising given his condition and perhaps is a mercy, and he was carried by the angels to Abram's bosom. We don't know what his community did with his body. Was he buried in a pauper's grave, or was he just thrown into the city's dump like trash? We're not told, but what we do know is that the angels were paying attention. And God sent them to gather Lazarus and bring him home. And it turns out that what looked like a very poor man here on earth turns out to be very different in the life of the world to come. Poor Lazarus isn't so poor anymore. In fact, when we meet him now, after his death, we meet him with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God. Among all those who are streaming in from the east and the west and the north and the south to the heavenly feast. The man who had nothing here is given everything there. No more thirst, no more hunger for Lazarus, no more tears, no more pain. Truly the former things have passed away. And he who was a beggar in this life is a prince in death. A reminder to us that all of the things of this life are brief. And even if we are dealing with some poverty or struggle or trial, that will not last forever. For there is one who sees us. There is one who watches over us. And when our last hour comes, he will send his holy angels to gather us home. What about the rich man? Now, the rich man died and was buried. A reminder that death comes to all people, even to rich ones, because there are some things money can't buy. I have no doubt that this man had a nice funeral, a long obituary printed perhaps in that day's Boston Globe, and some glowing eulogies. He was probably laid to rest in his finest purple and linen, and his tombstone, no doubt, was as rich and sumptuous as his life. But God's obituary for him is shorter. He died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And now you see how things are for this man. What looked like a life of envy, a life that we would all desire, to have everything you need here and no worries. He turns out to be the poorest man of all. For he did not have the one thing that mattered most: faith in Jesus Christ, in God's promises, and the hope of the life of the world to come. So there's the rich man in Hades, in torment, and he lifts up his eyes and he sees Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And it seems like he does what he did in this life. He begins to issue commands. Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that in your lifetime you received many good things. Or perhaps you could say, remember what you trusted in during your life. And Lazarus, in like manner, had bad things, but now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all that, a great chasm is fixed between us and you, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. It's really a sad, sad story. There is no relief for this man. The opportunity that he had to hear and believe and to use what God had given him for good in this life, he completely missed. Martin Luther says this in the Large Catechism about the first commandment: you shall have no other gods. He says there are some who think that they have God and everything they need when they have money and property. I'm going to read that again. There are some who think that they have God and have everything they need when they have money and property. They trust in them and boast in them so stubbornly and securely that they care for no one else. They too have a God, Mammon by name, which is money and property on which they set their whole heart. This is the most common idol on earth. That's what Luther says. And notice, it's not just that they have wealth or property, but that they care for no one else. That's what this rich man did and had. Now, when we speak about the rich and the poor, we ought to be clear that riches are not only a danger for the rich, riches are a danger for the poor as well. And I say that for this reason. Those who are rich may think that they have everything and need no God and care for no one else, while those who are poor may set all of their hopes and heart on riches, as if having riches and wealth would be all they need, even to the exclusion of God. This week is a real contrast with last Sunday, the feast of St. Matthew. You may recall that St. Matthew was a tax collector, a wealthy man who was called by Jesus to follow him. And Matthew, unlike the rich man in today's parable, Matthew left his tax collecting, He left his wealth and his riches, and he lived the life of following Jesus. The story goes on here. It's interesting that we have this account or this story of this conversation between the rich man in Hades and Abraham in heaven. The rich man goes on. He says, after he cannot get a cup of water to still his thirst, then I beg you, Father, to send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. They have Moses and the prophets. And if they will not believe what they have in God's word, then they wouldn't believe anything else either, including a man coming back from the dead. We know this for a fact, actually, from the Gospels. First of all, with another man named Lazarus, who on the fourth day that his body was in the grave was called out to life again, not to live forever, but back into this life. You might remember what the Jewish leaders wanted to do with him. They didn't call this Lazarus up and say, hey, will you tell us about it? And how do we avoid going into perdition? They actually wanted to put him to death again because he was a testimony to the power of God in Jesus Christ. But even greater than that, Lazarus is the one who came back from the dead, never to die again. Our Lord Jesus Christ. We have Moses and the prophets and the apostles and our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us listen to them. Let us set our heart, our mind, and our treasure not on the things of this world which are passing away, which we didn't bring into the world and we will not bring out of the world, but let us treasure the gift of our Lord and his word, which are of lasting and eternal value. And let us use the gifts that we've been given in this world. Let us use the wealth and the possessions that we have to honor our God, to serve our neighbor, and yes, to care for the poor. As you go through life, keep your eyes open for the poor Lazaruses lying at the gates, for those who have suffered oppression, for those who have received not the better end of this life, but the worse end of this life. And seek to use what God has placed into your hands to care for them. That's the first application, and there are two more, these from 1 Timothy again. St. Paul, writing to Timothy, said, if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. If we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. I suspect that you're like me and you say, if we have food and clothing and whatever it is, we will be content. But your Father in heaven has provided what you need. He gives you your daily bread. He provides you with your clothing. To desire and seek after more in an unhealthy and ungodly way will lead us not only to trials and trouble in this world, but has the potential as well to pull us out of the salvation that we have in Christ. St. Paul warns, it is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many pangs. And then finally, then what are we to do? And this is what St. Paul says, flee these things, but pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. And take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, which Christ Jesus has won for you and made known to you by coming back from the dead. Enjoy the riches that you have in Christ, the forgiveness that he pours out freely and fully week after week, and the promises that are yours in him, so that when the last day comes, you can say with Timothy and with Paul, and with poor Lazarus who died, and also with the prophet Job. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, who has given us all things in Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
The thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son and for the revelation of your will and grace. Implant your word in us that with good and honest hearts we may keep it and bring forth the fruits of faith. Lord, in your mercy, we humbly implore you to rule and govern your church throughout the world. Bless all who proclaim your truth, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word, and that faith in you may be strengthened, love toward others increased, and your kingdom extended. Be with our sister churches, Williamstown Lutheran in Vermont, as they celebrate 30 years of ministry, and Mount Calvary in Acton during their pastoral vacancy. Through them, continue to make Jesus Christ known to sinners in need. Lord, in your mercy. Grant health and prosperity to all who are in authority, especially to the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislature of this Commonwealth, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Grant them grace to rule according to your good pleasure, to maintain righteousness and hinder and punish wickedness, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. Be with all expectant mothers, especially Stephanie, Jamie, Catherine, and Emma, and the children they carry. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you, O Lord, for your care of Grace and the medical mission team during their stay and return trip. May the work that they did in your name continue to bear good fruit. And we ask that you would show mercy to the nation of Madagascar, bring an end to the riots and protests, as well as to corruption. Grant safety and protection to the staff and facilities of the Lutheran Hospital, that they may carry out their works of mercy in Christ's name. And be with all who have already suffered loss or injury. Lord, in your mercy. Comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit all who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, chronic illness and pain, or any other adversity, especially Marla's cousin, Dorothy, drawing her to Jesus as she battles cancer, as well as Dave, George and Carol, Debbie,
Lee, Judy, Jackie, Richard, Paul, Audrey, Cindy, Tiffany, and Megan, for you know each one's needs. And be with the Rouse family as they go through the time of grieving over the death of the patriarch of the family, that you would preserve them from discord or turmoil and grant them peace in Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, grant your peace and support as well to those who are homebound and the elderly in transition or rehabilitation. We pray for Georgia, Edith, Louise, Donna, Anita, Barbara, Ruth, Eleanor, Jeanette, and Andrea. Lord, in your mercy. Although we have deserved your righteous wrath and punishment, yet we ask you, O most merciful Father, not to remember the sins of our youth nor our many transgressions. Out of your unspeakable goodness and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger to body and soul. Preserve us from false doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of your mercy, and from an evil death. In every time of trouble, show yourself a very present help, the Savior of all, especially to those who believe. Lord, in your mercy. These and whatsoever other things you would have us ask of you, O God, grant us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Truly meet, right, and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him, your majesty is praised by all the holy angels and celebrated with one accord by the heavens and all the powers therein. The cherubim and seraphim sing your praise, and with them we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth, have ever the hope of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna.
Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 91, a psalm of comfort. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. For he dwells in the shelter of the Most High, will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. I will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions and under his wings. You will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that waste in noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who in my refuge no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. I will tread on the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the serpent will trample underneath under your foot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways.
Thank you.
cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul for life everlasting. Depart in peace. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Amen.
keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Bless ye the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.